Welcome to the BaseCS podcast, where we explore the basics of computer science concepts. I'm your host, Saran, founder of Code Newbie.
And I'm Vaidehi Joshi, author and developer.
And she is the brilliant mind behind the BaseCS blog series. Today, we're continuing our conversation on
sorting algorithms.
This season of BaseCS is brought to you by DevDiscuss. DevDiscuss is a show I work on with the team at Dev, an international supportive community for developers. The show addresses the many burning topics that pop up on Dev every day and is hosted by Jess Lee and Ben Halper, two of Dev's co-founders. Past episodes have included unpopular opinions with Kelsey Hightower, staff developer advocate at Google Cloud and a legendary voice in tech.
So an unpopular opinion should be like, computers were a mistake. Was this all worth it?
And how changing your name is a difficult, unsolved, and sometimes personally devastating problem in tech.
I basically walk through this world, through this minefield of not knowing when I'm going to have this like sort of deep emotional wound reopened.
As well as how little known tools can have big productivity gains.
And I think it gives me the sense of structure, which I really enjoy. And also you can color code different things.
Each episode features interesting guests from diverse backgrounds who are active in the software space. This podcast is your place for burning tech questions, answers, and genuine conversations. And we also end each episode with commentary from the everyday developers who call Dev home.
You'd be surprised how many things making music and coding have in common.
True to the Dev community, DevDiscuss wouldn't be possible without the input from all of you. So listen, rate, and subscribe to DevDiscuss wherever you get your podcasts. So this is our third and final episode on sorting algorithms. Can we do a quick recap on what a sorting algorithm is?
Sure we can. A sorting algorithm is an algorithm that allows us to organize some sort of data in a data set by some sort of value. And what I mean by that is we can take any type of data, any data structure or data type, and organize it by a property. And we can decide how to organize that in ascending or descending order. And that's how we sort. We sort by a key, and we can sort any data set that is made up of similar items.
Okay, cool. Makes sense. And feels very self-explanatory of an algorithm, and then it, you know, sorts things. And we talked about how there's different ways we can talk about these algorithms, different ways we can classify them. We can talk about them in terms of time complexity. We could talk about them in terms of space complexity, also as memory usage. We can also do stability, which we talked about last episode. Can you remind me again what stability is?
Mm-hmm. Stability is whether or not a sorting algorithm will, when it finds two elements that are the same, sort them in the same order as it saw them before they were unsorted. So that means if you have duplicates of an element, or if you have two elements that could theoretically be sorted the same, then a sorting algorithm that is stable will preserve that order. But an unstable one, there's no guarantee that the order that the algorithm saw those elements is the way that it'll sort them each time.
And even though the idea of something being stable sounds way better than being unstable, you mentioned that it depends on what we want to do and how much we care about that order.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one we talked about is internal versus external. And that one's more about computational power and what is doing the computing, right? Is that fair to say?
It kind of is, in the sense that you may have a data set that needs to be sorted not in the same main memory. You might need some extra space. And that's when an algorithm is external, because you can't just sort all of it in the main space that you have, the main memory. But sometimes you have algorithms that can operate on a data set internally within the same main memory. And that's an internal sorting algorithm.
And we have two left, two final ways of thinking about these sorting algorithms. The first one is recursive versus non-recursive. What are we talking about when we're talking about recursive algorithms?
Well, we have encountered recursion quite a few times over the seasons, back in those old days of yore when we talked about something about stacks and recursion.
Yes.
Those many days. Seasons ago. Many a moon. I don't know where I'm going with this. It's going to get real Shakespearean in a second, so I should stop myself. but we know the idea of recursion. So as a quick reminder, something that is recursive, like a function or a method, calls itself from within the body of that function or method. Mm. So if we know that functions and methods can be recursive, then in the same vein, we know that an algorithm could be recursive, because that would basically mean that an algorithm invokes part of itself from within itself. So if you're with me so far.
Yes. Invoking right. myself within myself. Yes.
There you go.
I do this every day.
Sounds complicated.
It's a hard life.
I just imagine you spinning around in your like desk chair, like in front of all your podcast stuff, just being like, I'm invoking myself within myself, and just spinning and spinning and getting really dizzy.
It's time to invoke.
Oh my god, I feel dizzy just thinking about it. I should stop thinking about it.
It's very effective, I should say it.
But anyways, back to algorithms. Yes. A recursive algorithm is one that kind of divides and conquers when it sorts. So what I mean by that is it has a large input, for example, and what it does is it kind of splits it up. It kind of divides it into chunks, into mm-hmm. smaller inputs, and then it recursively calls some sort of sorting function upon all those small inputs. So it basically has one method that it uses to sort, and it just relies on that same one method, those same steps, mm-hmm. and it keeps on recursively calling that method on the smaller inputs that mm-hmm. it has divided the large data set into. And that's how it can recursively sort. It can recursively sort small bits and then combine the sorted result to produce one large sorted data set at the end.
Okay, I'm having a hard time coming up with an opinion about this. Because everything else, it's like, do you want stability? Yes, I do. You know what I mean? Like, do I want to be in place or out of place? I want to be out of place to feel safe. Like, there's kind of like, you know, my gut was pulling me in a particular direction in the other classifications. But when I think about this one, which one is the good one? Is there a good one in this with recursive versus non-recursive? Is there like an obvious safe one or an obvious efficient one with this categorization?
Well, I think it's worth mentioning that in this situation, you don't have to implement an algorithm recursively. So you could have an algorithm that could be well known that is implemented non-recursively. Mm-hmm. And there is an option to implement it recursively. It doesn't mean you have to.
Ooh. So I can take the same algorithm and either do it recursively or non-recursively?
In certain situations, yeah. Oh, I don't actually know if you can implement all sorting algorithms recursively or not, because in order for it to be recursive, you need to notice the pattern of, I'm repeating the same thing for every single data set. And I think the place where you can really start to see it is that if you have an algorithm that is kind of doing the same set of steps on every set of data that it encounters, then you could make it recursive. So for example, say you have an algorithm that's like, if you give me 10 items, I'm going to divide it in two, and I'm going to keep on dividing it in two until I get to just two items, and then I'm going to sort and say, is item A bigger or item B? And then I'll say, okay, this is sorted, and I'll work my way back up till all of my 10 items are sorted together, if you can kind of visualize what I'm saying, then that's something that you don't have to implement recursively, but you could. It probably would be a lot more elegant and makes more sense. But there are some algorithms where maybe it's not as obvious, or maybe it's actually less readable, or maybe most people don't implement it that way. But I think there are certain algorithms where, especially if it's a sorting algorithm that's divide and conquer, you'll see recursive implementations. There are some sorting algorithms that are not divide and conquer. Those are hard to implement recursively. I can't even think about how you would even do that, because I'm just like, what is the recursive bit in this algorithm? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
They may not all be recursive, and you can implement something non-recursively too. So I think you're right to even kind of pick upon this weird sense of, is there a right or wrong here? Because it doesn't have to be recursive.
Because when I think about recursion in general, I think of something that is very efficient and very clever, sometimes a little too clever, you know, just like a little too opaque and kind of convoluted. And I
probably won't be able to look at it and know right away what it's doing. You know, it's a little, it keeps to itself. It holds its cards close. Mm-hmm. Is that a saying? Did I make that up? That's a saying, right?
Keeps its cards close, yeah.
Okay. Oh, thank God. Okay. So, yeah. So I think of recursion as being the smarter option, but also the one that's a little bit more difficult to figure out. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the trade-off then?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think actually something that I've seen when it comes to sorting algorithms is a lot of the times when they're introducing one of those divide and conquer algorithms in computer science courses, mm-hmm. like, for example, there's an algorithm called merge sort. Sometimes they'll say, implement merge sort iteratively, so without recursion. And then mm-hmm. they'll say, now implement it using recursion. And sometimes it's easier to see the recursive bit after you've implemented it iteratively and you've been like, oh, I know what I'm doing now. I know how this algorithm works. Now let me look for the recursive bit that I can extract out and actually invoke from within the merge sort algorithm.
Yeah.
If you don't know what merge sort is, don't worry. We'll talk about it later.
Talk about it later. You got to keep listening to find out. Ha ha.
That's how we keep them hooked. Yeah.
Now they'll never leave us. Okay, so recursive versus non-recursive. Okay, cool. Nothing too random or even too surprising in that one because we talked about recursion before. So that one makes sense. And is it fair to say that if it is not recursive, it is by default non-recursive?
Yep.
Like non-recursive is just anything that's not recursive, right?
Correct. Totally. You got
okay,
it.
Okay, cool. So making sure it wasn't a trick. Okay, so then the
surprise,
very last...
it is actually made out of tomatoes. Nothing to do with recursion. Wouldn't it be great maybe I gotta figure out a way to like somehow you know pull the rug out from underneath you one of these days.
Tomatoes. Oh, that was beautiful. Okay. Oh my goodness, I'm gonna hear that forever now. Okay. So recursive versus non-recursive. So the very last type of algorithm that we have that we're going to talk about is comparison versus non-comparison. What are we comparing?
So you'll remember that when we talk about sorting data, all of the data that a sorting algorithm gets has to be like a similar item, right? You can't really sort like a color and the number 19. How do you decide what property to sort it by? Unless there's like a timestamp or unless there's some sort of value that you can, some sort of property that you can sort by. You need to have some sort of similarity between those items that you're sorting between because that's the property value that you're going to compare. And the reason I say this is because you can classify a sorting algorithm based on how it does the work of comparing, so to speak. It almost will feel obvious, I think, when I explain it, but it is one of the ways you can categorize a sorting algorithm. So if you imagine that we have like a bunch of numbers that are all shuffled up and you're sorting like, oh, I want to organize them between 1 and 10 and I want to put 1 first and 10 last. If I was just not even using a program and I was just doing it manually, I would probably be like, okay, let me look at the first two numbers. Which one's greater? Which one's smaller? If this is smaller, put it on the left. If it's greater, put it on the right. And then if you think about it, if you're coding some sort of sorting algorithm, you probably would have like a greater than operator or greater than equal to maybe, and maybe a less than or equal to operator. And those operators that we are so familiar with and that we probably use when we're, you know, writing any type of code in any language and using any framework, those are comparators. So those are the operators that allow us to do the job of comparing. They allow us to determine which two elements or which of two elements should come first and which one should come second. So even if you're sorting a data set of 10 things or 100 things or 10 million things, you could just be at the end of the day looking at two items, a pair of items, and just saying, is this greater or less than? And that's how I'll decide what to do. So for the most part, a lot of the algorithms that we see are comparison algorithms.
Yeah.
They are comparison sorts because they are sorting algorithms that uses a comparator that compares a pair of items from within a larger data set. So that could...
Wait, but... Go ahead. Oh.
I like that you were going to stop me and I was like, oh no. She's gonna have a problem with this one too. You'll be like, but I hate greater than.
Greater than's worst.
Well, I was just gonna say that the comparator defines the ordering And if you are looking at, for example, numbers, you might have a numerical one, like greater than, less than. If you have letters or words, maybe, you will have some sort of lexicographic comparator. Ooh, where you're like, all right, if it's A, then it should come before B, or if it's L, then it should come before O, something like that. So it doesn't always have to be greater than or less than. Necessarily. I mean, it depends on what you're comparing, basically. Although most languages, you could probably compare two strings, and those comparison operators will know how to handle that. But
yeah,
I guess what I'm trying to say here is that you could have different types of comparators, but if your algorithm at the end of the day uses some sort of comparator, then you are using a comparison sort.
Okay, but by definition, aren't all sorting algorithms comparing things?
Yes, they are all comparing things, whether or not they use comparators.
Well, what else will they be using?
That's a good question.
Their feelings, their gut, tomatoes.
Yes, an algorithm that uses tomatoes is not using pretty a comparator, awesome, and that algorithm is definitely a non-comparison sort. I have no idea how it would do the sorting, but hey, I'm not here to ask questions.
It finds a way. How can it sort without using a comparison?
Well, there are a few different algorithms that I can think of that don't use comparators.
Okay.
I won't tell you all of them, but I'll give you one quick example. So there is an algorithm that we'll talk about someday down the road. It doesn't sort using a comparator. It sorts by looking at the place value, sort of, or like it's called the radix, the digit, I guess, sort of. So like if you are sorting letters, like you'd look at the first character and then you look at the second character and you look at the third character. Although in radix sort, you go from right to left. So you'd probably sort by, say you've got a bunch of three letter words like cat and car and can. It would look at like the third digit first, then the second one, and then the leftmost, the first. And so that's sorting not by using a comparator. It's sorting using digits. You're sorting a sequence from right to left. So that's a non-comparison sort.
Okay.
I was worried I was not going to be able to come up with one. I was like, oh my God, you better think of something.
But is it fair to assume that most sorting algorithms do use comparisons?
Yeah, I think it is fair to say that, because a lot of the ones that we're going to talk about in future seasons are going to be comparison algorithms.
Okay.
For the most part, almost all of them will be. But I do want to point out, because it is possible to not use a comparator, even though it might seem strange, you ask that question, like, how would you do it? There are ways to do it. It's maybe not as intuitive. When you come across one and you see it doesn't use any type of comparator, you'll know it's a non-comparison sort.
Okay. So if I am choosing my algorithm, I'm going back to the internal versus external example, where you're basically like, if you're doing external, you know you're doing external. You've decided to do external. Is that the same with the comparison versus non-comparison? If I do a non-comparison, is it also me deciding, or is it more sneaky than that?
I don't know that it's so obvious, I think, with that, because you could sort two data sets that are exactly the same using two different algorithms. Like you could sort data using radix sort, which is the one I was kind of referring to before, or you could use something like, I don't know, you could use bubble sort or quick sort. Some of those use comparators, some of them don't. You may not even think about it, you know, if you don't even think about how the algorithm's really working, doesn't mean that your data won't be sorted at the end of the day.
That's true.
Whether or not it's stable, whether or not it's efficient, whether or not it's using a whole lot of space complexity, time complexity, or rather extra memory taking up a lot of time. I can't speak to that because it depends on which algorithm you're using, but you could use both, and you may or may not even realize whether it's comparison or not. If I had to guess, I don't really think anybody thinks about comparison versus non-comparison when they're choosing an algorithm for sorting. And honestly, to be completely frank, I don't really think most people are even choosing these algorithms on a daily basis. For most of us, we probably are calling like dot sort or sort by or something, and those are using the algorithms under the hood. And, you know, if you want to take it a step further, since we've been talking about sorting algorithms for 3 episodes now, mm-hmm. and we probably will continue to talk about them down the road, mm-hmm. I do want to mention that this is kind of like a solved problem for the most part. Like, mm-hmm. we know which sorting algorithms are the most efficient. We know which ones take the least amount of time. We know which ones are really bad. So nobody uses those. So we mm-hmm. might talk about them. We might spend an episode or two talking about them. But you probably will never write it unless you want to just do it for fun or as an exercise, and that's fine. And you probably won't actually even be using it unintentionally. But it's important to know, I think, how they work, how to classify them, why they're classified mm-hmm. a certain way, because then you can kind of look out for those flags down the road, because maybe in the future you will need to write an algorithm that will sort of adopt some of these strategies. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you and I are not going to ever implement a sorting algorithm because we have all the tools and all the frameworks and languages that are there to do that for us. Mm-hmm. But I think if you ever end up looking, you know, at a language, its source code, and looking under the hood at what it uses, you may very well find, oh, hey, this is using one of the sorting algorithms I learned about. Mm. And you'll know what that algorithm does, even if you don't have to be the one to write it.
Okay, because the next question I was going to ask was, we talked about, what is it, 6 different classifications, mm-hmm. right? Time complexity, space complexity, stability, internal versus external, recursive versus non-recursive, and then the last one, comparison versus non-comparison. When I think about an algorithm, can it only be one of these 6 things? Can I describe them as something within each of these 6 classifications? Or, like, how do I match an algorithm like merge sort or whatever it is to these 6 groups we talked about?
So you can actually talk about every single one of those algorithms using all 6 of these things. So Ooh. That's actually what we'll probably do, is when we get into algorithms later on, we'll say, like, for example, bubble sort, the time complexity of bubble sort is this, and it is mm-hmm. an internal algorithm. And I actually don't remember if it's internal or external, so don't quote me on that. But, like, for example, you can use all 6 of those things to talk about an algorithm and describe it. And mm-hmm. I think it's important to go through those different classifications, because if you really care about space complexity, you may only compare 2 sorting algorithms and say, okay, I just want to look at the space complexity. Mm. That's what's important to me. Or if you are really worried about memory and you're like, okay, I need to find an algorithm that uses external memory, or I need to figure out how to implement this using external memory because I know I'm going to need to, you can look at that classification. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, oh, I just need one that's fast. And then you can look at the time complexity of 2 different algorithms, or even just 1, and just be like, oh, I'm not going to use that one because that's bad. Mm-hmm. So you can talk about all these algorithms using all of these classifications.
Interesting. Okay, so I can say my Saran algorithm is...
Saran sort.
The Saran sort, yes! Oh, I always want an algorithm named after me. The Saran sort is, you know, uses comparators, because mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's awesome and it makes sense. is recursive because it's super clever.
Oh my gosh.
Is external because, you know, just needs so much, you know, power because it's just sorting all the things. It's stable because stability is nice and we like to be stable. Mm-hmm. It does things out of place and constantly running out of memory because we have to be safe. We can't lose anything, and that's fine. And for time complexity, it is super fast and constant no matter how much you throw at it. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Mm. You should be careful talking about this algorithm. Mm. People might be like, Saran, you got to write this now. Create it. This sounds really good. Make it happen.
No, it's a secret. No. No one will ever know.
Then you'll make it, and then they'll just open a bunch of PRs. They're like, we want this.
They're like, is it stable enough? But is that the idea? The idea is, like, I can name an algorithm and then kind of go through each of these factors and describe them in these 6 ways?
Yeah, you can, like, you can look at 2 algorithms, like selection sort and insertion sort, and compare them using all of these things. Or if you encounter a new sorting algorithm, you can immediately just go and look and say, okay, but is it stable? Because that's what I'm concerned about. Or maybe I don't care about stability at all. Maybe I just care about memory. So I guess what I'm really trying to say is, it's ways of talking about algorithms. It gives us the tools. It gives us the language for describing this kind of new world we're about to sort of explore in the next season.
Neat. So now that we have talked about the classifications of these different sorting algorithms, next season, we're going to dig into what these sorting algorithms actually are. So we're going to dig into selection sort and bubble sort and insertion sort and merge sort and all sorts of sorts. And we actually have the language we can use to talk about them intelligently. So that's great.
Yeah, we're all set up for success. And awesome. My favorite part, I get to leave everybody on a cliffhanger.
Yes.
I really love doing that. I love starting a new topic and be like, bye. See you in a couple weeks.
That's how I have conversations. I'm like, let me tell you what happened. Okay, bye. And that's the end of today's show. If you liked what you heard, leave us a review and make sure to check out Vaidehi's blog post. A link to that is in your show notes. Also, make sure to take a listen to the Dev Discuss podcast that I help make. It's the first original podcast from Dev, a global community of software developers of all backgrounds and experience levels. And the show covers burning topics that impact the daily lives of programmers and beyond, hosted by Dev co-founders Ben Halpern and Jess Lee. Vaidehi, you want to say goodbye?
Bye! I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
That's amazing. That was good. Thanks for listening. See you next season.
Sorting algorithms are algorithms that allow us to sort. I'm going to start that again. I messed up the words. I like the S like blurred into the rest of the word. It was weird. All right. Mm-hmm.